This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fan Cast, Stanford Chidge,
oi, oi.
Chidgey, and Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
This is a very special show this evening. But firstly, how are you two?
I'm a bit hungover, actually, Charlie. If the truth were to be told, I am struggling a bit today.
I'm full of the joys of spring.
I went to see Cathedra Hate last night.
Yes, you did. You
Brandon.
Did, didn't you? Kurt Brandon. Yeah, wow.
They were brilliant. In my local pub.
They were in your local
I
pub.
I know.
Was it just you in the audience?
Pretty much.
Wow.
You know, I drank far too much Red Stripe. Did other you? Beers are available.
Yeah.
But Red Stripe was fantastic. But I'm feeling it a bit today. But I'm all right. I'm buoyed by seeing all you lot here today.
Buoyed?
Buoyed.
Oh, hello. B-U-O-Y-E-D.
That's the one. Not in the other sense.
Yeah, okay.
No. Be careful, Jonathan.
Be careful. Be very careful.
Well, as I alluded to, this is a very special show. Obviously, we'll be talking about the Chelsea Champions League game against Lille. We'll be looking at the game against Saints on the weekend. Chelsea are building up some very nice momentum. But that is not why we're excited in the studio, because we have some very special guests.
It's my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town.
Chicago it is. Very delighted to say we have been joined this weekend by Brian Wolfe from Chelsea Chicago. Brian, what a pleasure it is for us to have you in the studio with us this evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's a
what a tribute, man.
What a tribute.
Frank Sinatra.
Chidgey is very excited. And not only that, one guest is never enough. We also have Richard Weeks in the studio from We Are The Shed. Richard, what a pleasure it is to meet you.
Nice to see you all.
It is a packed Chelsea crowd. I'm going to have to be on my best behaviour, but Chidgey,
you're
no.
Well outnumbered tonight, mate.
I'm well outnumbered, no 4-1, but Chidgey always knows I'm always on my best behaviour.
You are.
Especially around him. I'm really
lovely.
Excited for the show tonight, obviously having spoke with you guys a few weeks back on the Chelsea Fan Show. Let's get right into it. It was a brilliant win away in France this week in the Champions League. The first win for Frank Lampard in the Champions League as manager. Kiddo is staring at me.
I wouldn't say brilliant.
Oh, you're such a negative, Nora. Let me start. We can have his negativity in a minute. I thought it was... We were moaning the other week, if you remember.
Moaning?
We were
you
saying
me?
We were saying that, you know, the problem with the game against Valencia was that it was a naive performance. They got mugged off, possibly down to the naivety of the management. But I thought this was a real coming-of-age performance by Chelsea. I thought it's tough to go away in Europe. Doesn't matter who you're playing. Lille might be a load of rubbish. Doesn't matter. It's tough going away. And I thought they did a brilliant job out there. There were wobbles, yes. Horrible with the set piece again. But they dug out a win. And that's what you have to do in Europe. And you know, we've been saying all season that they need to go into these competitions and start learning and learning quick. And I thought they did that.
I completely agree. Anytime you win away in the Champions League, they always say, look after your home form. If you can pick up a point or two, you should qualify. Kiddo. It's a 3 points away in France. Where's the negativity?
Long run. Here we
Lille.
Go. One,
oh,
two, three.
Please. Worst team in the group. Possibly one of the worst teams in the Champions League.
You're going to choke on your biscuit.
I've eaten my biscuit. I know.
Wrong
I know.
Time. Well, let's get the view.
We weren't very good. I was really disappointed.
And you know what, though? I thought, you know, what was really interesting is that we basically controlled the game. Stupid set piece.
Oh, as usual.
Yeah?
What's
stupid
going on?
Yeah, but the point being, stupid set piece. And we really, I thought we panicked for about 20 minutes. Their confidence shot up.
Completely.
But you know what? You weren't there. I wasn't there. Brian was there. How did it feel in the stadium?
We had to win. And we did. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, but how was the what was the atmosphere like in the stadium?
Because
I sense the players when that goal went in, they got wobbly, and you know Lille certainly the crowd got behind them. They looked a lot more confident. The confidence kind of came flooding back to them. How did it feel in the crowd?
They've got fantastic support there. So the roof was closed. So I got a bunch of messages during and after that it was very, very loud there, and it was on both sides. But the team, we looked like we let off at least a couple pedals, you know, when we conceded. But you know, we came back. There were really good substitutions from Frank Lampard.
Yeah,
I think the debate
brilliant substitution.
Yeah, I saw the
but
debate.
He changed the pattern as well, yeah. Which is unlike the manager from last season, who was obsessed with one particular pattern.
Other managers are available.
I think the debate on social media afterwards was, were those changes made too late or too early? But they worked out, and we won a game we had to win. And that's the most important thing. And that was my takeaway, besides having just
an absolutely
brilliant experience.
The confidence, I mean, you know, I was debunking this whole idea earlier that, well, you know, they're really inexperienced. I mean, rubbish. Willian and Azpilicueta have both played over 50 matches in Europe. It's like the whole team are under 18, which is not true. Some of them are very young and inexperienced, but the team generally are not. The management team are. But I think it's imperative that both the management team and some of the youngsters get that experience. And I, you know, as ever with Chelsea, it like Reece James came on, did really, really well. Abraham, what a goal. I'm sorry, but that was rude.
Chidge, don't you think the media agenda suits the team being considered a group of youths completely and utterly?
Yeah.
In fact, and everybody loves
us
now.
I'm
going
to do my best Donald Trump. Fake news!
But you can't deal with the fact that everybody loves us. They love Frank.
I hate that.
They love the youth.
I hate
they love
that
it all.
Loves
We've
us.
Become a team that everybody loves,
I hate
Chidge.
That. You know I hate that.
I know. That's why I'm saying it more and more to you. We've become a team that everybody loves,
I don't need to be loved, man.
They love us. What do you think, guys? They love us now, don't they, the media?
They do, but we've been through this before. We were the likable team in the 90s.
Yeah,
we
with Vialli.
We were the likable team when...
And we weren't winning. We weren't winning enough, were
no,
we?
No, we weren't. But
that's why they liked us.
Exactly, but we end up turning that around quite successfully, so I think we'll do it again. You know, when Roman bought us, people liked us then before we won the Premier League, and then they hated us again, so... You know, we'll win the Premier League and the Champions League this year, and then people will hate us next year. So
do you know how bad it is? I mean, you know, other radio stations that I could not possibly mention here, but I've been hearing that I was listening to it, and they had a Spurs fan, one of the friends, a Spurs fan, saying
how... swear on radio.
I know, but he was saying how much he loves Chelsea, how much they like Frank Lampard and what they're doing. I heard an Arsenal fan, similarly, on that radio station, how much... go away. I don't want you liking us. I like to be hated. I like to be despised. I like to be envied. That's what football's about.
It'll happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
when
will
we win.
Happen. Yeah.
No,
when we start winning it. But at the moment, it's all, look at them.
Mean,
they've got you.
We should ask Charlie.
They,
Charlie. I mean, I don't know. Are we allowed to reveal who
yeah,
you are?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Can we out you on air?
Out me on air.
Charlie, who is a thoroughly lovely bloke who I have the pleasure of working with every Sunday. But apart from that, he is an Arsenal fan. He's a gooner.
Oh, the poor boy.
So how do you think as a gooner? Do you like Chelsea or are you going to stick to your principles and hate us on principle?
I absolutely despise Chelsea.
Good man. There you go. I prefer that.
No, that's too much.
No, which is quite scary. I've got 50 more minutes with you in the studio. But no,
but I love that. Yeah. That's how it should be.
But Chidge knows, obviously, I'll be honest about it. I'm not one of those biased fans. Exactly. We've done a show, didn't we, every week. I despise Chelsea, but I do like Lampard, and I do like the crop of youngsters that are coming through. Let's talk about them, because Tomori and Tammy linked up for that goal. A brilliant assist, a beautiful, clinical finish by Tammy Abraham. Chidge refers to it as rude, but
it was
brilliant.
Man.
And they're all in the England squad. Mount, Barkley. Yeah. How exciting is this for you, that next crop that could feature for England
I think
so heavily?
The two England choices of both Tomori and Abraham were to avoid them playing for Nigeria.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I think there's an element of that.
I agree there's an element of that. But Abraham, who's the leading goal scorer in the league at the moment? The English leading English goal scorer.
But Holland came along and he saw.
Who is
it? We know who it is. You don't need to keep asking me that question. We know. We know who it is. Say it.
Go on then.
You say it.
No, you can't handle the truth, can you?
It's not about handling the truth. It's about another aspect. Steve Holland came and saw him against Valencia, and that chap, Gabriel, had him in his pocket. He's naive at the moment, Tammy Abraham. Yeah, he's nowhere near the finished article.
No.
And yet, I agree with you, the fact he keeps scoring, and he took that goal wonderfully.
It was,
yes,
it, actually.
Yes, he did. And also, what he didn't do...
Did you poop your pants thinking
he
was offside? Because I did.
No, no, yeah, but he didn't. I did. That's what I liked about
yes,
it.
Yes, he carried on, didn't he?
Yeah, which was... That is a real sign of a proper player.
He likes to score goals, man.
Yeah, so he thought, it doesn't matter if I'm offside or not, I'm netting it.
I'm doing it anyway,
I'm in, I've scored.
Totally.
Yeah, but no, but I love the fact that his movement is good, but occasionally my mate, I sit next to a Millwall fan, Ron, yeah, at Chelsea.
Bless him.
Who says things like...
We should out
he says things like, he says, well, look at Abraham, he says, look, he's not moving. He says, come on.
Ron is, he's more of a curmudgeon than you are.
Yes,
I've got to meet Ron.
He's so curmudgeon.
Sort him out.
You must. He says...
Because if I was sitting next to Ron, I'd say, Ron, when was the last time you saw any decent players at Millwall? Shut up, you mud. That's what I would say.
No, but his wife's trying to convert him into Chelsea fan.
She really? She's Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah, she
How
is.
Does that
it's
work?
Lynn.
Oh, but, Lynn.
It's Lynn.
Lynn's lovely.
Yeah, yeah, but he's
Millwall, isn't he?
He's Millwall, yeah.
Richard just gave me a look as if to say, is this what happens on the Chelsea show? And the look I gave back, I went, it's exactly what happens.
Richard's known me for a long time.
I listen, unfortunately.
Can I just say? The banners, this ought to be said.
We are the show.
Oh, I'll shut up then. But I want to say, I'll say it twice. Phenomenal.
Before you praise us, I'm going to disagree with your cynicism on...
Oh, hey! That's why I love Richard.
Tammy Abraham being called up purely for...
No, 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 I didn't say the word purely.
Okay, all right, fine. But two things. One, he was called up in the November friendly internationals in 2017 when he was playing for Bristol by Gareth Southgate, although it's a friendly, so he was capped for that.
Yeah.
So he was a long-time admirer of him, regardless of whether he was doing it in the Premier League. But also, Southgate, a very, very, very sort of moral person, makes a point of coaching these players and saying, you make the decision when you're ready, there's no pressure. Yeah. Yeah, and he's not someone who would do it out of just for pure convenience later on down the line.
You see, am I allowed to say where you work? Or is that?
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
Richard works at the FA, so he knows this kind of stuff. All right.
Yeah,
not trying to scare you or anything, JK.
It did feel like it got very serious.
So I can't call
them.
Don't
talk about my boss.
I can't call the FA a bunch of.
No, you can't. But I mean, I got asked by this lot. I came on the radio this week, and they were wanting to know what I thought about the. You know, Chelsea's youngsters being called up. And I think, and they would say, oh, are you surprised? And I say, no, I'm not at all. Because, you see, these youngsters that are coming through for Chelsea have been, you know, figuring in all of England's successful underage sides for the last 5 years. Five Chelsea players are in the team that won the Under-17 World Cup. So Southgate knows all about these Chelsea players. Because there was a kind of inference that, well, you know, it's a bit kind of, you know, just because they've scored a few goals for Chelsea, they're getting a game.
So does Steve Holland as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's not that at all. These guys have been a really fundamental part of England's young sides for the last 5 years.
Yeah. I completely agree, and I'm excited to see the next chapter for them. Can we just quickly talk about William? Because I was shocked. 300 appearances. How loved is he by Chelsea? Because he has been a brilliant player for them, hasn't he? I've watched him from afar and enjoy him.
It's divisive.
Okay.
I love William.
I'm
glad I've got
two. Hang on, two simple words. Everybody in this room who love William. That's one, two, three. It's
great.
Unanimous, including Charlie.
But
he's not even a
rare.
Chelsea fan.
But this
really?
Is rare. Yeah. Well, it didn't...
No, it's proper, mate.
What didn't help him was the fact that in Conte's second season was he fell out with Luiz and he's big mates. And so he then finished the season by putting that cross through... put a cup on his on the post of Conte. Also, he wasn't playing him. He just kept bringing him on a substitute because they'd so fallen out. But that was just a disastrous man management season by Conte, who sulked apparently all the time during the whole of that. Even in training, it was a very vicious.
How do you know it wasn't kind of Italian brooding?
It could have been Italian brooding, but it's also from a British point of view, it could be Western.
It was because there wasn't any chewing of cigarettes involved.
Ah,
that's why.
There you go.
I don't think he coped very well either, Willian, under the nameless one.
Sorry.
I don't think he did wonderfully under him either. But remember, in the Annus Horribilis, he was completely brilliant, wasn't he?
Do you know what struck me about Wednesday night? I don't know why. It's funny, isn't it, that like weird moments from games stick with you. But Willian kind of lost the ball at the edge of their penalty area. But he then raced back after the guy, you know, who'd got the ball all the way back in almost to our penalty area to try and tackle him. If William wasn't committed to the cause, and we've seen him when he's not committed to the cause as much as we've seen him when he is, but I just thought this guy is just absolutely got his heart 100% into Chelsea at the moment. The work he puts in, I mean, we're going to get onto the whole Pulisic thing, I think, next part, but, you know, if Pulisic is watching how to be a successful player at a club like Chelsea at that level, watch William. Watch the work he puts in up front and in defence.
And he's obviously, fit again now as
really
well, because
cool
he was slightly
hair.
Injured at the beginning of the season, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Missed all of the pre-season, didn't he?
Yeah.
Dope.
Well, we're going to be continuous chat, talking all about the Lille game and talking a little bit more to Brian and Richard.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the Chelsea fan cast, Stamford Chidge, Jonathan...
Hello!
I was prepared. Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
There you go. Brian Wolfe from the Chelsea Chicago and Richard Weeks, We Are The Shed. A really packed show for you tonight. We've just talking a little bit about
that. With proper celebrities, Charlie.
I know. I feel...
Not just boring old me and JK.
So we're going to stop speaking
we
now.
We are. I see that when I believe it.
Yeah, never stop. Just when we was away from you there, Brian, you brought up a good point about William. You said you've created a new position for him. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think he's been deployed as a defensive winger. And it starts when Jose came back to the club, and we're loaded on the left wing, and Hazard's going to get forward. He's not really going to do much coming back. And I think, you know, when we collapsed in 2015, 2016, that was one of the areas that really irked Jose. If you know him and his philosophy, it's all about balance. It's about limiting mistakes. The more the opponent has possession, the more mistakes that they create. And we, under his stewardship, you're able to exploit those. And, you know, William's that balance on the other side. He's obviously not at Hazard's level, but, you know, we had Ivanovic bombing forward on the right-hand side, so you needed coverage on the wing. Dave was moved over in favor starting over Felipe Luis, who was arguably a better left back at getting forward and a natural left-footed player. And I think it started there. And if you look now, there's been five managers at Chelsea who have picked William to play. From an American's perspective, he's probably the most polarizing player on social media and talking about because he doesn't score. But if you look, he creates a load of chances. He gets up and down. He's a box-to-box player. He's infinitely valuable. And that doesn't come up a lot on the statistical sheet. And I think that's why he attracts so much opinion that's either positive or negative.
This is a brilliant point, Brian, because, you know, as you said, he doesn't come up very well on the statistics. And I, for one, think that the predominant, you know, we get all this. I mean, we'll get into this, actually, because, you know, being an overseas supporter, it's quite pertinent. But there seems to be so many excuses for division in the Chelsea supporter base at the moment, whether it's alcoholic yadars like me against, people from overseas or young kids or whatever. But I think the key division is exactly that. I am actually too old to give a damn about FIFA 19 or whatever, but there are kids who've grown up with that, and it's all about statistics. It's all about value points. And maybe they look at the game in a very different way than I do. Now, I'm not trying to say one's right and one's wrong. It's just different. But I think that absolutely exemplifies the point, what you just said.
Well, I'll just add, I've been called on Twitter multiple times an alcoholic yurda, and I'm just proud of it.
Did you wear that as a badge of honour like
I
do?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not actually a yadar, but I'll take it.
I hope I'm not
either. I'm certainly an alcoholic. Everybody knows that. But there you go. It's bonkers, isn't it?
Well, let's talk a little bit about being a supporter overseas, Brian. How did you come around to supporting Chelsea? What's it like? And how much now are you just in love with this club and carrying it forward?
I don't have a good origin story. I wish I could go on and tell everyone that I do, but they're not going to make a movie out of it anytime soon. Chelsea's been the only club I've ever followed. And, I mean, it's the most important thing to me probably in my entire life with my work. And really it comes down to...
Just want to interject, Vince Vaughn would play you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I was really hoping for Robert Downey. That'll be a good joke
there's a back home.
But, the club to me is all the great people that I know. Obviously, Richard, Mr. Kidd, Chidge. I mean, there's probably 100 more people, and that's why I come over as much as I do. And, you know, we kind of get that. And from an overseas standpoint, I think we're going to get into it. It can be a little bit divisive, and it tends to take a discussion and a debate around certain players and where the direction of the club is going and things that we should care about. But, you know, for me, it's not just what's happening on the pitch for 90 minutes. It's everything else around that.
It's the culture, isn't
it? It is.
I mean, and this is the thing. I mean, I think people naturally, as human beings, we like to create division where actually really there isn't. You know, ultimately, you either get it or you don't get it. And I don't... I mean, since we've been doing the Fancast, I've been just absolutely knocked out by how many people I've met from all over the world who love Chelsea and get Chelsea in the same way that I do. And I'm not trying to say the way I get it is better. It's just I get it in a certain way, but so do they. I mean, if I was... We'll get onto this in a minute too, but if I was to tell you that, you know, Richard, with his mates and We Are The Shed, do all of the banners in the Shed End, which are fantastic. He does a brilliant job to try and get atmosphere going and, you know, get a real lovely match day display presence there. If I told you that it was Brian and his mates in the States who designed most of the flags and produced them, that just kind of shows you, you know, that's the point. These guys get it. They are as much part of what we're up to as anybody who's grown up with it, third, fourth, fifth generation or whatever. Right, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's more out of convenience rather than anything else, to be fair, because Brian's on speed dial 24/7. I call him at ungodly hours.
Apparently, I've been fired, though.
But you know what I mean.
No,
I mean,
no,
to depersonalise it, no, you know, Brian and Walker did the one Kerry Dixon banners for the Chelsea Fancast, which is hanging in the Matthew Harding Inn.
So from the graphic design thing, it's we basically branched out to the Twitter universe and asked for help, and, you know, these guys responded, so... And, you know, like we always promote, we look after international supporters as much as we can because we feel like we have an obligation. I know you do. You'll buy people drinks, bring them into the group.
I'm trying to get them tickets when we can. Yeah,
can I ask you how much of the club interested in your banners?
They actually really are. Like, when we initially approached them, I think they thought, you know, it's just going to be a sort of a short-lived thing. But no, the club offer us money to do the displays. They've offered us thousands of pounds, but... You know, as you all know, we
crowdfund them.
Yeah, we want it to be. Our argument is initially they sort of didn't like how rubbish they looked.
is that why you phoned up Brian?
No, it was more that they said that they wanted it to look more slick. And my argument was, well, they said we can give you money. My argument was, well, if Chelsea supporters want it to be bigger, then we'll drop in donations basically as a group. And as we've sort of grown, they've gotten bigger and better and things like that. But yeah. Any sort of graphic design is mostly done by Brian/Walker. You don't do anything, Chidge.
No.
Enthusiasm.
As Brian will validate, I'm an ideas man. I came up with the idea, and then I hand it over to clever people who can make my idea come to life. Am I right? There's only one answer.
It was a heavy silence.
I'll add to that. Walker will verify that I'm an ideas man too, and he usually ends up cleaning the mess that I make.
Okay,
so
that is also true.
No, but I'm interested in whether the club are very supportive, because they ought to be immensely supportive, because it is it's great dramatic moments before the game starts.
So, I mean, like, obviously we look a lot at across Europe because they're well organized and well oiled machines. And there are a lot of clubs in England that are trying to do the same thing. And it's the clubs across Europe really, really, really support. Dortmund will literally take the items overseas for the supporters and give them
they
to them.
They do all of that as well, right?
They will know instantly when Dortmund are playing abroad. They contact the club and say, these are what our supporters will bring. And that's kind of what we're trying to get out of Chelsea.
And but also, it's unbelievably good marketing for them as well.
That's how we kind of approach it, and that's how they respond to us.
Well, but having met the marketing department on several occasions, is, you know, they're coming up with those, what was it, the thrill.
Thrilling.
Thrilling since 1905.
For goodness sake. I actually questioned that. I actually questioned that at a forum meeting, and a voice in the corner said, I thought it was rather good, you know. And you think, Well, could you not have consulted any of the fans before pasting it all over the ground in its embarrassing glory there? My goodness me.
Who was able to keep their job in a year of sorry ball and being able to connect that to a campaign like Thrilling? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
That's awful.
I think they started that before he turned up.
But, I mean, fair. Richard and I have both been on the supporters' trust for a while. I mean, Richard's not at the moment, but he was there long enough to know what I mean. But ultimately, the club have to listen to the people who understand, and the people who understand are the supporters. And I mean, yes, they get it wrong far too much. But actually, thanks to people like Richard, and there are many others as well, they do listen. And they, I think, you know, without you, it would be a nightmare. So thank God you're there getting in their ear, Richard. Dave, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, I kind of feel like our part of our responsibility as well is to try and educate the club in what supporters love. You know, and it's like we try and teach them a bit about our culture so that they understand it a little bit better, and then it sort of regurgitates back to us. They have been very good at listening to us and trying to help us and offering help, but it could be a lot better. And I feel like they're willing, but it's kind of like trying to teach an old dog new tricks. It'll take a while.
So when all the banners disappeared recently and you were having them cleaned,
yes,
did the club comment on that? They'd lost them.
Yeah, so they lost our...
Clearly like, the supporters trust
they're one. 20 metres... They're massive flags. They're like 20 metres by 12 metres.
Yes.
They sent them away for cleaning. They thought they'd been delivered back. They couldn't find them. They didn't know where they were. It turns out they hadn't been delivered back at all. So there are some communication issues, but that's every club is terrible at that.
Yeah, just one thing I wanted to ask Brian, actually, following up on, you know, what it's like following Chelsea from... I mean, how far away is Chicago? 4,000 miles?
Yeah, it's 4,000.
Yeah. So how hard is that to follow a club that's 4,000 miles away?
I don't think it's very hard.
There you go.
No.
Right answer.
In this day and age, technology.
Yeah,
but Brian actually comes over here. And I mean, one of the things... I mean, I saw a tweet from Brian last night, or after the game. Brian was out in Lille, so he'd obviously had a few Belgian beers or something. But he said something like, this is what it's all about. You know, all you overseas fans who, you know, whinny on Twitter and stuff, this come out here, experience it. That's the point. And you do. And I know it's not easy for everyone to do that. I mean, hell, it's not easy for some English fans to afford to go to games. But essentially, that's really what it's about, isn't it?
It is. Richard and I have known each other probably the longest. For me personally, it's been going on over 10 years now. And I didn't know most people even, going back mm-hmm. 5-6 years ago. But it's the people that why I come back. Obviously, you want to, you love football, you love mm-hmm. Chelsea. But, the community is why I continue to come back.
Yeah.
The football is only 90 minutes. I'm here a lot longer than that. It's all about the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant point. Can we ask him about, have we got time to ask him about Pulisic very quickly? Because there's a right old hoo-ha going on about, I mean, this is predominantly on social media, it has to be said, but a lot of overseas and younger fans can't understand why Pulisic is not getting a game. And I know he's highly rated in America. He's the great white hope of the USMNT, isn't he? Where do you stand on this, Brian?
Well, so I think, being on English radio, predominantly English audience,
you can say whatever you like.
I can't. Put it into perspective. How long have England fans been screaming out for that one great player, even having them back in the days like can Gerrard and Lampard play together? How long have you been screaming out for that one great player that you recognize is
a local
all
player.
Above the rest? Yeah.
Well, yeah, hugely.
And, it really hasn't happened. Now you kind of see the renaissance with some of these younger players. That's what he is to us.
Yeah.
He is far and away the best and most talented player whenever we go out on the pitch, whether he performs or not. So I put it into two camps. You have one camp, people who follow Chelsea, especially from America, and now he's signed, and that's great. And there's a little bit of, national pride there, obviously.
Mm.
Now we have this new wave of supporters that come in. Because he's signed, they are supporting the club. And that's great. We've had that a lot of times before.
Fanboys.
Yeah, people have come on, they've supported because Eden Hazard, Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard, John Terry, like we've had it, especially in the last, 10, 15 years. But it's ratcheted up to a new level now. And I think, maybe from their perspective, understand that, just because he plays for us doesn't mean you need to be a Chelsea supporter. And at the same time, like we want you to be, but it may take some time to get there, and you need to be rational and you need to be patient in his mm-hmm. development because he's not going to play right away. He needs to grow.
Cheech, can I ask, because I'm actually a fan of him. I watched him for Dortmund, was quite excited when he signed for Chelsea. I thought I'd get to see him in the Premier League. But I've heard you on occasions, I hope you don't mind me saying it, believe Chelsea signed him purely for a marketing reason.
Well,
not purely,
that was me
maybe.
Being,
is that fair to ask?
No, that was me being a bit naughty. I mean...
Well, I thought you told me that's the reason they signed
Shut
him.
Up, don't blame my cover.
Sorry, Cheech, if I'm
No, I mean, me, I can be a bit naughty sometimes. I mean, I will always reserve my judgment based on what I see on the pitch. And what I've seen on the pitch is flashes of talent. I thought, for example, in the Super Cup match, he looked brilliant, actually. He looks really threatening, really dangerous. He's got a lot of pace. But what I've also seen is somebody who just doesn't understand that you have to, in the position that he plays, which was on the right or left wing, I forget now, but you've got to track back. So what the point I was making about Willian earlier on, learn from Willian. Willian's a big, fancy down flash player. But learn from that guy. He tracks back. You've got to do that playing for an English club. And until he learns how to do that, then I don't think he's going to get much of a chance. But it's a lot. I mean, he's young. There's a long time. He'll get better.
The funny part for me is that if you go back and look at him historically at Dortmund, with his statistics, he matches up to be a Willian type of player.
Mm. I think he's got talent, Brian.
He can play a variety of positions. Yeah. He does. He creates a load of chances. He doesn't necessarily have the goal and assist numbers that are there. So, you know, for an audience to blame Willian and kind of be on him because he doesn't score enough,
stupid.
And then to be... Yeah. Frustrated that he's not playing at the same time, we need to give him time
but
because
none
he
of us,
is a useful
None of
player.
Us are managing at the training ground, seeing
yeah,
what they do on the training ground.
Yeah.
I trust the people who are paid a lot of money to do that, to make that
well,
choice.
We only see, and this is an issue, we only see the 90 minutes per match.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard and the staff, they're training with those players five times a week.
This is a debate I feel we could go on for a lot more. We could talk about this a lot further. We will a little bit, and we'll be talking all about the Saints match on the weekend as we turn our attentions back to the Premier League.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show. As you can hear, we still have a laugh even when you're not with us. You can tweet us though at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp on the same number. We've been talking about that Champions League game in the week. Now though, we turn our attentions to the game on the weekend. Chelsea play Southampton, and I have to say, Chidge, it is a very, very happy hunting ground, isn't it, at St Mary's?
We never lose there, really. I mean, that's the point. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's a bit cheeky, you know. When I was living in London all the time, my favourite away was Fulham away because it was the closest. And now I'm predominantly based in. I mean, I grew up, you know, in and around Winchester, and most of my schoolmates were Southampton fans. A pitiable bunch, a lot of them, really. This is the away I personally like to go on more than any other because, for some reason, because my perverse sense of humour. I actually like the fact that I can get on the train at Winchester and get on the train full of my drunken mates coming down from Waterloo. Although this year I won't be able to because they're getting diverted by Guildford and they're having a two-hour journey. I'm sorry that I'm laughing saying that. My journey will be 23 minutes. But it's a great... I mean, other than the personal reason, it's a great away, Southampton. There's some good pubs there. You know, Southampton fans are a pretty decent bunch, really. So there's no, you know... discomfort. We go to one of their pubs and they're all fine. It's a brilliant... I mean, you've done it a few times. Richard's done it a lot. Jonathan got stuck in the Debenhams, local Debenhams, in the ladies' underwear bit once. The brilliant story.
That sounds like a story.
It's true.
Isn't that Father
we don't
Ted?
It is out of Father yeah. Ted. You know, he is Father Jack, basically.
This was pre-Father Ted.
But it was on a Chelsea fan cast about 5 years ago, that story, so you just have to go back in the archive. But you've been to the Southampton away before. Richard has. It's a great away, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll actually be my first time.
No so way. I thought you'd done it before.
First time. Yeah.
No way. You've done it before.
That's why I'm here. All right. Yeah.
You've been before, haven't you? It's a great away, isn't it?
Of course I have, yeah. I'm not plastic like Brian.
Overseas fans.
Yeah.
Taking up all our seats. No, yeah, it's great. It's close. It's a good area. It is one of my favourites, genuinely. Mm. But yeah, I'm actually kind of more looking forward to Watford away. I like that. Unfortunately, I won't be there on the weekend because I have to work.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, it's fantastic. Plus, like you said, we always win. So, you know, I think we can get Champions
Not
League.
Not always.
Well, go on, you're going to go to 1984 or something.
Do you know when okay. Question for Jonathan. Question for Jonathan. When was the last time?
Come on, Kino.
When was the last time we lost to Southampton away?
Oh, God.
The last time.
Can't remember.
Well, it was in March 2013. We lost 2-1. Who was the manager then? Who was the manager then?
Well, their manager.
Our manager.
Their manager was Adkins.
Our manager.
I know, I'm just...
Rafa Benitez.
Exactly. So there you go. Other than that, including the FA Cup, I was at the FA Cup match where we won 5-1. We've won every match. The only one time we've drawn was December 28th, 2014, when I think we probably had too many mince pies. But, I mean, basically, we... In fact, actually, I found this is a great stat, Charlie. You'll love this. I think we are the most successful side. Premier League games lost by Southampton at St Mary's. We were the first team to win there, of course, when they opened it. But they've lost 8 games to us, 7 games to Man United, 6 to Liverpool, 5 to Man City and 4 to Spurs. So we are the most successful team at St Mary's. One of my favourite games recently was, I think it was a couple of years ago, when Olly Giroud, we were getting stuffed. We were hopeless.
Yeah, we won
3-2. Were awful. Yeah, yeah. And Olly Giroud, like a man possessed with a magic beard, just turned it all around. He was brilliant. Brilliant. I love Olly Giroud.
You head to the Saints with that fantastic history, confident of a win. But is it slightly concerning? Only 1 clean sheet in 11 games under Frank Lampard. And I think over his time with Derby and Chelsea, you pointed it out, he's something like 20-25% of clean sheets. Is this a worry? Is this a concern?
Obviously. Hell yeah. But we just need to score more than the opposition every single time. So
it'll be like watching
Spurs when Klinsmann used to play for them. Remember
Newcastle
that?
Under Keegan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, but they've got the potential.
I'd love it if we beat Southampton.
I love it. They've got the potential for scoring over and over again. I mean, what did they miss against Brighton? 7 chances. 7, not even half chances. One-on-ones and just absolutely clean chances. They've got to put the ball in the net, because the way they're playing, the speed he wants them to play at is actually, it's unbelievably praiseworthy. It's a very, very efficient setup, because they get the ball into the penalty area so quickly. They've just got to put the ball away, because I'm not convinced that defensively that they can cope, as a consequence, but they keep leaving, we've talked about it before, they leave these large holes in midfield, particularly when they get a bit tired. And I think it's very similar to the way that Klopp first had Liverpool playing, which is they'd spend the first 20 minutes absolutely overwhelming the opposition, and then they'd have to have another 20 minutes recovering from it. And the pattern isn't the same. But I think what Frank is trying to do is brilliant, but it's at the moment leaving them very, very exposed. So.
You're right. This all comes down to Frank Lampard. But look at how he's played at Chelsea his entire career. He's played in teams that are set up to keep the goals out. So when it comes down to it, we're still very early in the season, I trust him to institute tactics and put in the right players to be able to shut things down when we need to.
But isn't it odd that, I absolutely agree with you, that they were based on fantastic defence and breaking away from the defence. Whereas he is much keener for everybody to be on the front foot.
Which leads to
great football, but it means it's so stretched all the time.
It speaks to your point, how long it takes people like Pep and Klopp to get that system running. Yeah. And I think that we've already seen a change in the first month, which is more than what we saw last season. It reminds me of when Antonio was here. After 6 games, we made the change. We went to 3 at the back. And then 13.
But at least with Frank, he's not going to play 3 at the back. He might even play 4 at the back. He changed it. Odoi came on. I thought Odoi was brilliant during the week, by the way.
Me too.
Came on. And he changed the system.
Richard, what do you make of it all? The 1 clean sheet. I know we can sort of get overexcited by stats like that, but is it a worry? Is it a concern?
To be honest, it genuinely isn't. It doesn't come up on my radar at the moment. Only because we actually have what every single football fan wants at the moment. And that is one of your greatest ever players, manager at the club, a cult hero who grew up in the local area, supporter is number 2, a back staff that all absolutely adore the club and are legends in their own right, and then a bunch of youth players coming through. At the moment, how many games in are we? 5?
7.
7? 7?
Bloody 7 league games.
Missed a couple. No.
And the fact they've all been playing football together since they were 8, the youth, which is nobody has that system. He's got the best academy in Britain, possibly in Europe.
That's the thing. We are a work in process and progress. Sorry, and to me, it doesn't come on my radar yet. You know, like you live and learn. You have to sort of evolve. And Frank Lampard is one of the hardest working and most intelligent men in football, it seems. And if there's anybody on the planet that I think can turn it around and become a great manager, it'll be him.
But you can just take that a step further. Do you think that Pulisic may be suffering because amongst all the youths with him, that they might be slightly cliquey?
I bet a bit of an outsider in that sense. I kind of agree with that because
you think it's not a Lampard purchase and he came in straight away and was promoting the youth. But the people keeping him out of the actual team aren't the youth players, really. So,
no, that's true.
I think he needs time. You know, he's a new player. He's a few games in. You know, Ivanovic took a season to get in, and he became one of our greatest ever players. Yeah. So
Drogba,
give him time. Exactly.
Frank Lampard.
He just needs time. It's just people.
Frank a year.
Yeah.
He was rubbish first year.
He was.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the Saints game on the weekend. Next, someone to give us the Saints perspective. We'll be talking to Steve Grant from the Southampton podcast.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. I'm joined in the studio with the Chelsea fan cast, Stamford Chidge.
Oi, oi.
And Jonathan Kidd.
You know.
And we said earlier, we have very special guests in the studio. We do. Brian Wolf from Chelsea Chicago.
America.
And Richard Weeks from We Are The Shed. And now, though, I'm delighted another guest has joined us. We're delighted to have Steve Grant on the line with us from the Southampton podcast. Steve, is Saints versus Chelsea on the weekend. Chelsea are feeling in a confident mood, as they should. They have a very good history down in Southampton, don't they?
Yeah, our record against you lot hasn't been great. Pretty much since we moved to St Mary's, really, nearly 20 years ago. I mean, to be fair, that's kind of coincided with you being being half decent. Well, not gonna give you too much praise on okay, this one. Let's be fair. no, I think your record at St Mary's has been excellent. Obviously, you won the first ever competitive game there.
I did good Johnson, wasn't it?
I think so. And I think, did Hasselbank get one late on as well?
May have done.
Possibly. There's certainly a 2-0 win for you boys on that day. And it took us about 3 months to actually win any game.
Didn't you have to get, there was some gypsy curse or something. Somebody had to kind of pee on the pitch or something to get rid of the curse.
There was some sort of pagan.
It was just for real, wasn't it?
Yeah, some sort of pagan weirdo came in and
ritual.
I probably knew them. I'm down your manor actually.
Wasn't there some naked
Steve?
Dancing?
No, that was a party
that's
you
right,
went
that's
to.
That's me. That's right. Yeah. That
was, no, I'm down your from your manor. So finding somebody, finding somebody pagan to like do that, I probably know them. They're probably drinking the Willow in Winchester or something, or they would have done them back in the day. You know, Steve, you're right. I mean, we've got a ridiculously good record at St Mary's. We've won more games than anybody else, scored more goals than anybody else. But I tell you what, you know, I've been looking at your last 10 matches. In a sense, typically Southampton, a bit up and down. But, you know, you only lost 2-1 to Liverpool at St Mary's.
Should have got a draw out of that,
exactly. So you played well. You drew against Man United.
We're a very weird but very frustrating team.
I think what I'm trying to say in a really long-winded way is that I'm not underestimating Southampton. So I actually think Hasenhüttl's a good manager, and I think you've got some decent players, but you're just not getting the results really that the effort deserves.
Yeah, I mean, I think our issue is one of kind of a lot of it's self-inflicted. I mean, we've got a lot of we've had a lot of dross in the squad over a sort of 2 or 3 year period where we basically just kind of.
I thought you sold them all to Liverpool, mate.
Well, yeah, I mean that was the issue with the good players, but everyone obviously got upset that players were constantly being linked with moves away. But I think now they realise that actually if they're being linked with moves to bigger clubs, that means they're doing quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's being linked with big moves at the moment, which rather tells its own story.
I'm always bemused about who does the linking of these things. Is it just somebody deliberately tapping them up from the other club? I never know what this linking is all about.
Partially that, I would imagine. An agent probably talking to his mates in the press.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never quite tell who's behind these sort of stories. I mean, quite often, I'm sure Saints are more than happy to put names out in the press for players they're trying to get rid of. So it kind of works both ways, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
So, Steve, how are... you got a couple of ex-Chelsea players. One of them, a much-loved player. The other one who never really kind of... You know, just didn't... I mean, actually, Aurel Romeu left soon after I interviewed him, and I often wonder whether the two things were linked. But Romeu and the lovely, you know, Ryan the Lion from against Bayern... Rion Bertrand, as we used to call him, actually, on the Chelsea fancast. I mean, how are they doing? I mean, how are they viewed at Southampton? Are they liked? Do they do well?
Romeo is very popular, both amongst players and fans. I think he's one of those players who you know that regardless of whether his performances are good, bad, or indifferent, you know that you're always getting 110%. So he's kind of a fan's player, if you like. He is that guy that everyone kind of aspires to in that sense. Bertrand's a little bit different. I mean, personally, I think Bertrand is quite possibly our best player.
Whoa.
But His body language at times gives off the sense occasionally that he's not fully focused occasionally. And I mean, it's slightly bizarre that he's still with us, because I mean, sort of a year or two after we obviously had that summer where we basically sold everybody to Liverpool. A year or two afterwards, he was being linked with a similar move, and for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. And now he's kind of not really talked about in the sense of getting a move to a sort of top six club anymore, which is strange, because he's certainly good enough still for me.
Steve, we have to put you on the spot. You know it's coming. What is your score prediction for the weekend?
Well, I kind of think that both teams basically are a lot better going forward than they are at the back. I think you're still having teething problems defensively. I mean, whether that's injuries or system or just individuals, maybe. But I mean, we've certainly got an issue with individuals just not being good enough at centre back. Fullbacks, I think we're okay, but it means that we just concede too many goals. So I think we're looking at a high scoring game here. I think, to be honest, I'd take a draw. I think 2-2's not unrealistic. Mm. But I think the only way we're getting that draw is if we take the lead. I don't think we're going to be able to come from behind to get it.
Well, you're going for a draw. Steve, a real pleasure to talk to you. Steve Grant there.
Cheers,
from
mate.
The Southampton
Hello,
podcast.
Steve.
Just very quickly, let's get a score prediction in the studio. We'll start with our guest because it's okay. The right place to start. Richard, what is your score prediction on the weekend?
My head says 2-1 Chelsea. My heart says 5-0 because they didn't let us take our crowd surfer in the away end. So.
Good man. Did they not do that?
No.
That's pants.
Brian, what do you say?
I'll go 4-2 Chelsea, and I will make a bold prediction that my countryman gets his first goal.
Really?
Wow, that is bold.
Pulisic to start or get on as a sub?
I'm not sure, but bold prediction.
All right.
I just have a feeling about it.
Okay.
We're running out of time,
kiddo. 4-2, and Pulisic won't even be on the bench.
Well, 3-1 to the mighty Chelsea. And in honour of Theatre of Hate, who I saw, and they wrote a song called Americanos, and in the lyric in that is, somewhere there's an American. I'll leave you with that.
Well, it's a unanimous decision in the studio. Chelsea will get the win on the weekend. This has been the Chelsea Fan Show with the Chelsea Fancast, and you can hear it every Friday, 7-8. Next up, it is the Leeds Fan Show. We have to thank Chigi, Kiddo, Brian Wall from Chelsea Chicago, and Richard Weeks. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.